Hello and welcome back to The Meaning of Life with your host, Jimmy Page. Now, in today's episode, we are going to talk about a couple of things. The main thing I will get to, but for now, I've just, as of literally about 2 minutes ago, I've joined a group chat, and this group chat is with two lovely guys from college and one girl that I don't know. But the proposal is to begin what is going to be a covers band. So even if we don't actually end up recording stuff or going at it, you might see some of that content somewhere. And I'm looking forward to it. It's really fun because I play the guitar. I'm not great at the guitar, but I do try. And I don't get a chance to play it often because I only really like playing with people. I don't really play on my own. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it and to actually make proper music again. That would be really fun. So today I actually did some gardening again, I know. And so I was actually gluing the drawers because all of the drawers in the kitchen are like falling apart. The wood is just coming apart that, you know, where it had been glued before. So my brother bought some wood glue. And I've, you know, been taking the drawers out, gluing them together and fixing everything. And when I was doing that, my mum came home as she went out for a drive to get an eye test, you know, to get pick up new glasses. And she gave me a bag. She said, you can have either one of them or both of them. And I was very intrigued. And I put my hand in this bag and there were two things. I looked down and they were plants. And I thought they were both beautiful and I took both of them. So I got two new plants, which is absolutely phenomenal news. I do hope when you're listening to this, they're still alive, because that would be sad if they weren't. The two plants I got, one is a fuchsia called Dark Eyes. It hasn't flowered yet. It's still just, you know, a bit of green stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we have a plant, which I don't know how to pronounce, called Macedonia. It's called Garden Freckles. That's the supposed colloquial name for it, I guess. What I wanted to talk to you about today was actually a relatively more serious thing. So the chat isn't going to be all about wood glue and fuchsia plants. So today we're going to talk about social media and advertisements. Now, there's this saying that's been going around for the past few decades, which is, if you are not paying for the product, then that's because you are the product. And I never used to understand that properly, but I feel like, you know, now I do. And it's essentially saying that any service that you pay money to use, you're paying money for that product and you're getting the product in return. It's, you know, it's a trade. It's supply and demand, it's all that, you know, buzzwords. And there are other things in life, you know, that, and that could include things like Netflix, YouTube Premium, that kind of stuff. Now, there's these other kinds of things in life where you don't pay for them. So why do you get stuff for free? Why does shit come free? It doesn't, right? Nothing is free in life. But some things are. Facebook is free. Facebook has been free for the past, like, 20 years or so, 18 years or so, and there's so much else, you know. You got TikTok, Snapchat, you got what else is free, you know, online news, newspapers, all that kind of stuff. And there comes a time when you have to draw a line down in the sand between what is advertisement, as in you are the product, because the product is you, because they're advertising for you. So these advertisement companies come to a conglomerate like Google and they go, yo, I've got this lovely new apple juice, and I think your viewers who specifically watch apple juice videos on YouTube will like my apple juice. So they pay Google, and the thing that these advertising companies get in return is the product that is you. The product is the guy watching the advert, right? Now, there are some things that don't fit into these two categories, like public service. So the BBC is supposedly, you know, public service. It's the British Broadcasting Corporation. And I don't know why I forgot that. I was going to say company, but I don't think it is. I should know that. I'm a TV student. But there are these things which come under, you know, public service. They're meant to be existing for the complete benefit, right, of the people that are consuming it. So people are meant to read BBC News and they're meant to find out what's happening in the world. And they're not meant to be advertised to. They're not meant to be, you know, it's for their well-being. There are always outstanding anomalies, right? I would say the stranger things from my point of view would be something like the fact that in the USA, they can sell medicine on television. When I say this, I mean they can, you know, give adverts for prescription-based controlled substances, which I find that very, very confusing from my point of view, because in England we don't have that. All we have, you know, some guy might sell you Gaviscon, which is great for heartburn on TV. That's fine. It, you know, it's a consumer product, really. It's not a drug. But there are things that, you know, you get prescribed, like, for example, antidepressants or maybe antibiotics, or you might get, you know, prescribed something to help with, I don't know, like, any form of, like, condition, like a heart condition or like high blood pressure or something, right? And in England, we go to the GP and it's publicly funded. So we go there and they go, yo, you're fucked up in this way, and that way. These are the drugs you need. It won't really cost you anything because you live in England. It would just cost like a £9.50 processing fee, I think. And then you go get the drugs that they tell you to. Or you get prescribed it in a bit of paper. But in the US, I think, is it not the same? Do they not get prescribed certain drugs? So what is the benefit of advertising these controlled substances to the mass population? Do they get a say in it? Like, would an American go to their doctor and go, hey, I'm feeling really depressed, but I've seen Prozac on television. Can I have that, please? And they go, yeah, sure. Because I feel like that's not a thing in this country. It's very much your doctor tells you what you need and then you take it. But I could be grossly wrong. And if I've upset any Americans, specifically my girlfriend, then I do apologize. Not that any Americans are going to be listening to this, because no one does. I wanted to speak today specifically about things like Facebook and the social media platforms, because they're the main things I feel which are algorithm based, right? And as a YouTube guy, I was going to say YouTuber, but I'm not. As a guy that publishes videos on YouTube sometimes, and a guy that does street photography on Instagram at Street Level Vista, thank you very much. I am very familiar with the idea of the algorithm, right? I know what the science and the mathematics is. Granted, I don't really play into it much, because when I make media-based content, I make it for myself. I don't really... Sometimes I make videos for other people, but most of the time I like to do art, like art-based projects. So a lot of my stuff doesn't really do well in, you know, on social media, because I'm not too fantastic at the algorithm, you know? And I feel like this algorithm-based thing, right, it feeds off of negativity. So when good old Janet logs into Facebook and she goes, hey, I've just seen, you know, I've just been down the road and there's so many bloody immigrants on my street, because, you know, Janet be like that. That will get a lot of replies and a lot of likes, because people are mad about that, as they should be. And that means that outrageous negative content gets replies. If Janet had put up a Facebook post that just said, oh my lord, I love Romanian people, she's gonna get like 2 likes on that. And that's why Janet doesn't post that stuff. And it really got me thinking about the state of humanity that we're kind of living through now. And it's a very strange, but what I believe to be brief time. I cannot see this stage of living through our phones and being constantly hooked up to the internet. I cannot see this stage lasting longer than 100 years. And I mean longer than 100 years from conception. So like by the year, 2100, I just cannot see this as a sustainable thing, just like mentally for the brains of our generation. This podcast is called The Meaning of Life, and sometimes on The Meaning of Life, we like to get deep and we like to talk about what things mean for humanity and what things mean for our own minds and how things like Facebook and Instagram just completely take over. One thing that I feel that Facebook specifically, MySpace even, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, WhatsApp, not WhatsApp, all of them, all of the social media platforms, I feel as if they encourage something, one of the things that I hate the most in life, which I'm guilty of and every single human being is guilty of being a part of, which is something called the confirmation bias. The confirmation bias is nothing other than seeking out and only properly recognizing information that approves and confirms the things that you know. And this is, it is quite hard to put into words, but I feel as if it's basically, if you have a view, say we use Janet again, right? Janet is a little bit racist. Now, if Janet has the tendencies to, be mean to or segregate in any way, any media she sees that says that these, people, whoever she doesn't like, any media that's against that kind, that people, for example, BLM, right? You've got a lot of stuff going on with that. You have been for years and we will have it for years. And hopefully we will make a change. I'm all for it. And especially when COVID ends, it's going to get a lot more crowd-based activity, which would be fun. Lovely to photograph as well. But these things, say, for example, Janet is against Black Lives Matter because she, is on Facebook all day and she thinks that it's a communist fucking whatever. Janet is going to disregard any media that says Black Lives Matter is peaceful, it's, attended by all races and all ages and genders. She's not going to click on those articles, right? She's going to click on the articles that confirm her bias. So she's only going to acknowledge information that confirms that Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization or it's going to take over the world and kill the police. Like, no. Janet, shut the fuck up. It's not that deep. Social media fuels this kind of hate because you have the first punch to the gut, the first blow to the side of the noggin, which is the fact that the algorithm prefers negative energy because it gets more attention. As humans, we are programmed to acknowledge bad things more because bad things equal death, right? If you're a caveman, if we see a snake or a spider, we're going to be so quick to acknowledge that and react compared to if we saw, a dandelion or a badger. And people often feel that short memories are the happy ones and the long ones, the things you really remember. Well, it's different for a lot of people, but some people feel that they remember bad stuff better because trauma and these kinds of just reactions and these reactions of humans makes you need to remember these dangerous and bad things because it means that if you get attacked by a saber-toothed tiger in a cave and you just about get away alive, you're going to learn that saber-toothed tigers are bloody dangerous and don't go near them. And you need to remember every single thing that happened, right? just to know what they look like, what they sound like, what they smell like, everything. You will try to remember everything. Your brain will overwork. And that's why we're just programmed to see negativity and pay attention to it. We don't really pay attention to positivity as much as we notice bad things that we disagree with. So there's that blow to the, you know, side of the nut. And then on the other side of your nut, there's another blow. That is the confirmation bias, which is something that as humans, we are prone to because we don't like to be challenged in our beliefs. We think we're correct on everything. And that's the difference between a lot of young people and old people, I feel like. The older you get, the more solidified you are in your beliefs and your morals. And because of this, you just kind of stick with what you know. So when you go on Facebook and you see something that promotes negativity against the thing you believe with, you're just, they're hooked on it. The boomers are hooked on it because it just, it's that feedback loop, that endless loop of negativity and just badness, you know? And we need to break that. And I think as a society, we will. But it might take some time and it might take a few more oil spills. But I hope this has helped you to kind of think about social media a bit more and to think about advertisements and products and just kind of take a step back every now and then and think, hang on, am I paying for the product with my time or my money or my attention, or am I the product? And that is the key takeaway from today. On the brighter side, I do have to admit, I do enjoy social media, and I think there's a lot of positivity out of it. You know, just look at the protesters on Instagram, the stonk boys on Reddit, and the conversations on Twitter, the comedy that comes out of it, you know, meme culture. We wouldn't have that without, you know, old boomers like taking over Facebook and then we get to go on Instagram. That just wouldn't happen because Instagram was literally made as the new Facebook. People, you know, the Zuck made Facebook and then kids kind of got bored of it because their parents started to join it. And then their parents joined it and started typing up, you know, putting up nice pictures of their kid winning a trophy at some contest. And the kids are like, I don't want to fucking be on this. Mum's on here. So Facebook was like, okay, we need to make a new platform. Instagram. And that has been The Meaning of Life with your host, Robert Plant. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Please make sure to press that fucking follow button because Spotify is strange. And like if you follow someone's podcast and you get their episodes, but if you don't follow them, you can listen to them all the time and you'll never see an episode, and it's very, very strange. Also, if you Android lot, as of right now, I'm not, but by the time you hear this, my podcast will be on Google Podcasts, which is an app that comes pre-installed with every Android phone. So if you have an Android, then you have just search podcasts, find the app, you'll have it, and I'll be there if you prefer that. I'm not on Apple yet because I can't afford to distribute. Good night.